awesome morning ahead of us. So get ready. All right. Westfall family, come on up. I feel like a game show host. This is great. So today we get to do a dedication, and we also get to do baptisms. So it's going to be a fun day, a day of celebration, a day to celebrate new life. So this is Corey and Sam in Georgia Westfall. Say hi. So we get to dedicate Georgia today. Sam and Corey are dedicating Georgia. And dedication is a thing where parents get in front of church and they dedicate to raise their kids to the best of their abilities to follow Jesus, right? It's also, this isn't like a passive event where the audience just gets off scot-free. It's also the church, you all, saying we are going to do our best to raise our kids around us to know and love Jesus, right? In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses." So it's a call to parents, to families, to communities, to, as we go along in life, as we raise kids, to raise them to know and love Jesus. Georgia wants to preach. You can preach any day for me. So, Sam and Corey, do you promise to raise Georgia to the best of your ability to know and love and follow Jesus?
We do.
Church. Do you promise to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, to raise Georgia and all the other kids to know and to, for you to be an example of who Jesus is in their lives? All right, let's pray for Georgia and the West Falls. Jesus, we praise you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for all that you bless us with in this life. We praise you for how you move and how you work and how you bring us close to you. And Jesus, we praise you for this family, that they are bringing their daughter in front of the church. And we pray that you give them strength and courage to grow in their faith so they can pass down their faith to their kids. Jesus, we pray for Georgia that you would, your hand would be upon her, that she is your daughter, you've created her, you've knit her together, you've given her passions, you've given her dreams, you've given her purpose, you've given her identity. And Jesus, we pray that even now at a young age, you would be leading her, your spirit would be leading her and forming her and shaping her to know who you are and to love you. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. She goes, I don't want that. All right. Turn with me to John chapter 4. I know you thought we were done with the book of John, but don't worry. Just a one-off. John chapter 4. Most of us that have grown up in the church know this story fairly well, but there's a couple things I want to point out in this story. Hang on, I need a time, 9:21. I'm on a strict time schedule today. Just so you know, kids are gonna walk through the door about 20 till, that's my cue to be done preaching. So if I end abruptly, that's why. All right? We got other things to do. So John chapter 4, Jesus has this encounter with this woman. And Jesus is a Jew, and this woman's a Samaritan, and there's all sorts of racial and cultural barriers that Jesus is breaking through. He's not supposed to be talking to a woman. He's not supposed to be talking to a Samaritan. Like, all these things are wrapped up in one story. John chapter 4, verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" See, his disciples gone to town, he's sitting next to the well, and this woman walks up and he goes, "Hey, can you give me a drink of water?" And she's taken back by this. She's astounded by this question. Like, this should not be happening. I understand, as I walk up to the well, you as a man sitting there will not talk to me. But you just did. Like, I don't know what to do with that. And so Jesus says, "Will you give me a drink?" Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She doesn't quite understand this story yet because she goes, "Sir, you don't have anything to draw water from the well with. I don't quite understand what you are saying. Where can I get this living water?" And Jesus replies, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give then will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We're going to explore just a little bit this theme of water throughout Scripture today. But I love this story because Jesus is encountering this woman and he says, "Look, I have something that you can't get here on earth. I've got real water that will quench your thirst in which you will never be thirsty again." And I love this story because it's a story of like transformation. There's a few stories throughout the Gospels when Jesus has an encounter with somebody and their life is like immediately transformed. I mean, and there's a lot of stories like that, but this story is, I think, unique because this woman encounters Jesus. He talks about her life in a way that nobody's really talked about her life before. He's offered her grace and he's offered her mercy. He has that conversation, "Go get your husbands." Like, he goes deep into this conversation, calling her out in life, but also meeting her there with grace and mercy. And her response is this: "I need to go tell everybody in the city who you are. I need to go tell everybody in the city where I'm from who you are." I love this transformation that she goes through because I'm sure she's someone that comes to the well and she goes about her business. She gets the water. She goes back home. Her home life is a wreck. She's been through a lot in life. Like we don't know the complete details of the story, but she's been through it. She's been through trauma. And as a result of meeting Jesus and putting her hope and faith in him, she then goes back to the city and goes and tells everybody about him. "Hey, you got to come meet this guy. He changed my life. You got to come meet this guy. Like he's different. You got to meet him. You got to know him." Leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town, to the people, and said, "Come, see the man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of town and made their way towards him. And then in verse 39, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." Because of the woman's testimony. That woman's got a reputation around town. Like we know what she's been through. We know what she's all about. And we've seen her grow up. We've seen her family life. We know how she lives. We know her. And you changed her life? Well, there's got to be something to it. There's got to be. So they come out to meet Jesus, and many from that town put their hope and faith in him. See, this is what the gospel is about. The gospel is about transformation. The gospel is about new life. The gospel is about living your life differently, the way that you think and the way that you actually live this thing out. The gospel is about telling people about it. Both with your mouths and with your lives. It's one of the reasons why we do the For Our City Day. Because we want to be a church that is for our city. We want to be out blessing our city and blessing organizations and blessing people in our city. Jesus offers her living water that will never, she'll never thirst again. There's a theme of water throughout scriptures. You could go all the way back to Exodus, which water is an important part of the rescuing of the Israelites. They are walking through the water. Ezekiel 36. Turn with me there if you so choose. It'll be on the screen, I think. 36, 24 through 27. Ezekiel was a priest in Israel when the Israelites were sent into exile. And God would send the Israelites into exile to try to get their attention and get them to come back to him. See, the Israelites were often wayward. They would often stray from following Jesus. They would worship the things that are created rather than the Creator. All these idols would make their way into their life. All those other priorities would make their way into their life. And pretty soon, the nation of Israel would be following all these other things, and God would be sitting there going, hey, you forgot about me. Like, get back to me. And so we see God bring prophets to the nation of Israel. We see God send them into exile to try to get their attention. And Ezekiel was a priest. He was one of the prophets that were sent to Israel to try to get them to come back to God. And so the whole first, most of the book of Ezekiel is him, God telling the nation of Israel, like, why they're in the situation they're in. And saying, you need to repent. You need to come back to me. You need to live your life for me. And in the later chapters of Ezekiel, God starts to give promises and give hope for Israel. He's saying, if you come back, this is what life will be like. And chapter 36 is one of those chapters. It's a pinnacle chapter that turns from God trying to judge Israel, trying to get their attention, trying to get them to come back, calling them out, to God going, this is what I want to do for you. So Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I love this because, like, this is the gospel. God is saying to the nation of Israel, if you will just give me your life, if you will just follow me, you don't even have to do anything. If you will just abide in me, I will take out your old heart and I will give you a new heart. I will do the work of working in your mind and your heart to transform you. See, you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to the table. I will clean you, transform you as you sit at the table with Jesus. He's saying, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new life. I will give you a new identity. I will give you a new purpose. And in chapter 37, it's this cool vision prophecy where Ezekiel's standing in the valley and God, there's a bunch of dead bones there. And God says, hey, breathe into these bones. I will put them back together. I will put flesh on them. I will tie the tendons together. I will bring new life into them as I breathe into them. There's this connection between breath, between water, between new life in Jesus. And then in John chapter 7, we have Jesus at the festivals, and he's talking to the Israelites, the Jewish people, and he's talking to them, and they have this festival where they're running this water down these steps, and Jesus is standing there looking at this festival, and he goes, hey, don't miss it. I am the water that you need. It's again an echo of the Samaritan woman's story. I am the living water that you need. Let anyone who is thirsty come and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. It's this idea that John carries through that if you believe in Jesus, he will transform your life. And this isn't just a logical belief, right? This isn't just I'm afraid of going to hell, and so I know I need to believe in Jesus in order to get my ticket into heaven. Like, so I'm just going to believe in him. I'm going to say the prayer, and then everything's going to be good. I don't have to do anything else. Or this isn't like a logical thing. I just have to believe in the right things about scripture, about theology, about doctrine. I just have to order it all in my mind and believe in it all, memorize it all. I just have to do all that. Like, that's not the kind of belief that John is talking about. James has this great line, you believe? Great. So do the demons. So what? John is going, no, this belief needs to sink so deep into your mind, your heart, and your soul that it transforms your life. But you don't do the transforming. It's not, I got to follow the rules. It's Jesus does the transforming within you. Jesus takes out the old heart and puts in the new. Jesus is the source of water. Jesus has the invitation, whoever's thirsty, come and drink. The rest of the gospel, in the rest of the book of John, Jesus dies, Jesus is resurrected, and he comes back to his disciples. And he has one message. Follow me. Go and teach others to follow me and baptize them. Baptize them in this water, symbolizing the transformation that's taking place in your mind, your heart, and your soul. Follow me. And then teach others how to follow me, and then baptize them. That's the message at the end of the Gospels. You now have a purpose and a mission. It's to go. Make your life look like Jesus's. Teach others to do the same, and baptize them along the way. See, a lot of things happen in baptism. Baptism forms our identity. We see this in Jesus. Like, baptism is this, like, I look at it as this kind of mysterious thing that we do. Like, it's mysterious and not all at the same time. It's mysterious because in some way it forms and shapes our identity. We look at Jesus, when Jesus was baptized in the river, what happened? John the Baptist baptized him. He came up out of the water. Dove came down, and he heard the voice of God. You are my son. I am well pleased with you. Before you do anything for me, before you do any ministry, before you glorify me in any way, I am pleased with you. I believe those words carried Jesus through his entire ministry. It gave him strength through the entire thing. Later in John, we see Jesus go back to the place where he was baptized, I think to be reminded of those words that God spoke over him. So baptism forms our identity. Baptism also declares that our old selves are buried and we have new life in Jesus. Romans 6:4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in the newness of life. Ephesians 2 says this, you were dead in your sin. You were walking along the ways of the world and you were dead in your sin. But because of God's great love for you, who is rich in mercy, he died for you and he gave you new life and he raises you up with Christ and seats you in the heavenly realms. When you put your faith and hope in Jesus, you have a new identity. You have an old heart that's taken out and you have a new heart that's put in you. See, the act of baptism celebrates that our sins are being washed away and your old life is dying as you go down into the water and you come back up into this new life with Jesus. It's symbolic of what's happening when you put your faith and your hope in Jesus. It's a public testimony declaring that you are repenting from your old life. You are turning away from your old life and you are ready to live into the new life that Jesus has for you. A new way to think, a new way to live, a new way to be, a new way to show up in the world. I don't take on the identity the world gives me. I take on the identity that Jesus gives me. So we get to celebrate a baptism today. Sam Westfall in a minute is going to come up and give us his testimony. And we get to celebrate as he gets baptized and takes those steps of faith. Takes those steps of declaring who Jesus is in his life. And declaring who Jesus is to the world. And as the audience, like I said earlier, this is not a passive moment where you just get to sit back and go, oh, that's cute. This is important for the life of the church. You are an active participant in this. We all get to be active participants. Because we all get to demonstrate who Jesus is. Demonstrate what he's done for us and demonstrate what it means to live a raised life in Christ. Amen? Amen. The kids are coming in to watch the baptisms. So, Sam, are you ready? All right, don't go too long now. You can go as long as you want. There you go. Sam Westfall, everybody.
Good morning. I decided that I was going to get baptized today based on one thing that happened last year at a camp in northern Minnesota. So all of my siblings know this, my family knows this. I go to a camp every summer called Lake Beauty in northern Minnesota. And I hadn't had an experience unlike last year where I just felt this nagging feeling the whole week that God was gonna be with me. And from that moment on, I decided, okay, I'm gonna give my life to God and I'm gonna get baptized. And from then, I decided that I was kinda gonna use one verse and build my life off of that. which was Matthew 17:20, which says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. From then on, I've decided that I'm going to find God in every little moment of every day. And I'm glad that I have my siblings, my parents, and Jamie here for helping me get baptized today.
He should preach, shouldn't he? That's good. Let me pray for you. Jesus. Man, this is such a blessing to be a part of this moment, Jesus. We thank you. We honor you. And Sam is following you, and he takes this step to declare that through baptism. Jesus, we ask that your spirit is upon him and within him. That you fill him, that he walks by your spirit, with your spirit. He is your son. And Jesus, you've given him giftings and passions and things he cares about and things that he's good at. And you've given him personality. And Jesus, we pray that you continue to form all of that to impact the world for your name. We pray that you, along with family and church, raise him up, transform him, continue to grow him into the man that you're calling him to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Ready?
Yeah. All right, let's stand to our feet as they prepare for the baptism, and we're gonna sit.